Our scripture for today will be found in Psalms 30, verses 1 through 12. I'll read the entire psalm. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. Father, speak to us this morning, even for the little short time that you have given us to share this message. We pray that you may speak to our hearts, that it may do a service in how we serve you. In your name we pray. Amen. So last Sunday, for my extra hour of daylight savings time, I decided to go for a walk. And during my walk, an elderly Hispanic woman approached me and said, "Hey, I remembered you from last Sunday, and I brought you the book." And I instantly tried to figure out where I've met this woman before. And have we had some conversations about this particular book? And I was confused because last Sunday I was nowhere near Greenbelt. So I listened, but the more she talked, the more I realized I have never met this woman before. So I interrupted her. "Sorry, ma'am, but it wasn't me." At this point, I'm trying to get back to my walk. I wasn't rude or anything like that. I just wanted to go back to my walk. And so she said, "It's okay, it's okay. But I have this book for you. You can take this book. It's a very, very good book. You will love it." And so she takes out the book from her little fanny pack and she shows it to me. And I take one look at the book, the title of the book, Steps to Christ: How to Find Peace with God. And at that moment, I'm like, this book is not for me. I'm a disciple already. I know Jesus Christ. I know the steps to Jesus Christ. So to which I'm like, "Lady, I already know Jesus Christ. I love Jesus Christ. In fact," I did a little name drop, "I am a pastor, okay, of a church. I pastor at a church on Frankfurt." To which she says, "Huh, you're a pastor, huh? Good for you, good for you. But this book, I tell you, it's a very, very good book. You need to take this book." And so I stopped for a second to think, what in the world is going on? I am not getting out of this conversation without taking this book from this woman. And one of my biggest pet peeves is when other Christians try to convert Christians. And so I'm like, "Lady, this is not the book for me." But I couldn't get away from this conversation. So I talked to Jesus for a second. I had to pause. I'm like, "Okay, what do you want me to do? Kick her in the shin and run? Or, you know, what do I do, Jesus?" Jesus said, "No, don't do that." But it dawned on me that I was supposed to take this book and say thank you. So I took the book and said thank you. And the rest of my walk was a conversation with Jesus. I'm like, "What was that, God? What, I don't know you now? I need a book of steps to you?" And Jesus was like, "No, no, 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 no. That's not what this was about. This was about teaching you how to give thanks in whatever the situation, and to give thanks at all times. All you had to do was to take the book and say thank you to the lady. You know, as a pastor and counselor and traveling throughout the world doing missions, I hear some pretty hard, desperate, and challenging stories. Stories that can break the strongest of us. When you help bear the pain of others, you can sometimes forget the goodness of God. You can sometimes forget that God's goodness is all around us. You can get stuck into those places, into those sad places, and not know how to give thanks. You know, pain is real. I just want to share that. You know, we're not going to celebrate Thanksgiving and act like there's no such thing as pain. Pain is real. And so we're not going to trivialize it. We will not trivialize the challenges that we go through with our families. We will not downplay the difficulties in our marriages. We will not spiritualize the unrest and the uncertainties that we're feeling about our nation. They are real. We will not mask all this pain with, oh, happy Thanksgiving, good luck. Have fun with that. But to push through the pain and see a new day and cling on to God, we must cultivate some balance. We must cultivate a life of thanksgiving. But giving thanks is not this unilateral thing we do that magically, it just magically fixes everything. That's not what it does. That's not what it's supposed to do. As I started researching for today's message in the Psalms, and I know when I started reading Psalms 30, many of you are thinking, what is this Psalm? It has no word of thanksgiving. But I started picking up on an interesting pattern. Almost every Psalm of thanksgiving is surrounded by a Psalm of lament, where the people are crying out to God and basically placing their complaint, presenting their complaints to him. Almost every praise has some lament attached to it. Or a psalm of lament may even begin in despair. And towards the end of the psalm, you will see some words of praise and some words of thanksgiving. And I'm like, what is all this, God? Can't I just give thanks without thinking about lamenting or the sadness and all of that, God? Can't I just do that? Once the one author said, lament without thanksgiving is a spiraling path that will put you into a pit of despair. Because if I'm just lamenting all day long, we're just going to stay into this pit of despair, right? And in the same breath, she says, thanksgiving without lament is a cheap sentiment that will not sustain you for the long haul. So it can't just be thanksgiving or happy Thanksgiving, 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 and never reflecting deep into those hard and challenging places we find ourselves in life. And the author says, you won't find one without the other, which was kind of strange because that's not what I grew up knowing. Thanksgiving is Thanksgiving. Who has time to think about the sadness? And you know, and I think this is perhaps the reason, one of the reasons the holidays are so difficult for so many people, because lament is so close to happiness, to joyful times. And these psalms of lament and thanksgiving were sung together within the community. And so this morning, I ask our community who are here to celebrate Thanksgiving, what are those things that we can lament together as a community? And what are those things can we praise together as a community? Those things that we can just search in our hearts and together as a community sitting around this table of unity, that we can just give God praise for. You know, today's a day we celebrate and we give thanks, where we reflect on the goodness of God for our lives, for our families, for the marvelous things he has done for our children, for our marriages. But as the author said, we will not simply give thanks devoid of lament, pretending it doesn't exist, because it's in the shadows of every last one of us here. And as a counselor, I can say that. It is in the shadows of our families, of our lives, in everything that we do. And please don't get me wrong. This is not a message to make you sad or anything like that. And lament's purpose is not to scare you or sadden you, but to deepen our walk with Jesus Christ. So in Psalms 30, the psalm says in verses 8 to 10, and as he lamented, "To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. What is gained if I'm silenced? If I go down the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help." And in the same breath, we can lament as well. We cry out to God, you know, for the pain and suffering we have seen around the world. We cry out to God for the things that are keeping us awake at night. We lament over failed marriages, over our broken families and relationships, disappointments after disappointments. We lament over the oppressed whose voices sometimes we do not hear and we cannot understand. We lament over disunity in our world. We lament over disunity surrounding us here in the church between my brothers and my sisters. We lament that sometimes we forget that the true enemy is not each other, but it is Satan. It is Satan who roams around to kill and destroy and to rob and to steal. Today we sit around the table realizing that every last one of us has something to lament over. And that shared experience, I don't know about you, that shared experience, that knowledge that every last one of us go through it. Every last one of us have these things that we can lament. I think in and of itself kind of is unifying. Because if you look around the table, look around your table just a second, or look around the church just a second and give each other a nod, just a quick nod that I see you. I know that you go through. You know, we see each other. Soon Chang Ra says, "The American church avoids lament." And I think I get it, because we love happiness. I want to be happy all the time. I really do. Maybe one day we'll do more with lament as a community, but I want to spend the rest of our time talking about the other side. Thanksgiving. The spirit of gratitude. As the author said, if we were to simply stay in lament, that would lead us into a spiraling pit of continual despair. So lament must be balanced with thanksgiving, with praise. The psalmist shared in verse 11 and 12, "You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and you clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. I will give thanks to you forever. I will not allow my circumstances to keep me down in a pit. And so forever, whether I lament, whether I go through hard times, I will praise your name forever." That's great news. That this psalmist, I mean, in one psalm to have all these emotions. Here I am in the pit, and here I am. I'm going to praise you forever, God. How many of you can identify with the psalmist? You've turned my wailing into dancing. Now, that's a great Thanksgiving when we can sit around the table and say, let me tell you about this Thanksgiving, what God has done. He has turned my wailing into thanksgiving. That's our God. So we praise and give God thanks. Praise and thanksgiving following laments makes our praises much more rich. It gives our thanksgiving much more depth, because it comes from once a hallowed place to now a rich place. You must have experienced the hollow to fully understand the rich place. The praise and worship of the materially poor and the oppressed always brings me to tears. to see a group of people who have suffered trial after trial. And on Sunday morning, their hands are raised up, praising and worshiping God and saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God. You woke me up this morning. That's Thanksgiving. And that's why we need lament. That's why it's needed. Because then we can't trivialize the things that we are thankful for. Oh, God, I thank you for cranberry sauce, because without it, Thanksgiving would have been ruined. Come on now. You haven't spent enough time in lament. Because if you did, you would sit around that table and say, last year, this time, I remembered where I was. I remembered how hard things were. I remembered I did not have a job. I remembered that my marriage was on the rocks. But this Thanksgiving, I am able to praise and worship God. And I am able to see God. His grace is upon me. That's Thanksgiving. That's how we give thanks as a family. So to end our time together, I want to give some tips on how to hold these two things together as we move into a time of sharing a meal together and as we move into a season of Thanksgiving, a season of holidays. The first one is be well-versed in lament. You know, spend some time with God lamenting about what's going on in your life. It's okay. And sometimes try lamenting with your small group. You never know what may happen if you do that. See how it works. My fear is that on Thanksgiving Day, you will start your laments by asking God, God, why, oh God, have you given me this family? By day, they spew insults, and by night, I lie in anguish trying to figure out how to get them back. That's not how we lament. You do not do that to your families. Create a regular rhythm of lament. And the second thing is praise and give God thanks. Praise him. I might even encourage a journal of gratitude. You know, you've heard of those. Where you keep a journal and you write those things that you are thankful for. But don't trivialize the process again. You know, writing 100 things down. I thank God for my finger polish, or I thank God for this. You know, really, really spend time focusing and thinking deep about the things that you are thankful for. Go for depth and not focus on the list itself. Lament and give thanksgiving, and thanksgiving do not have to be an everyday thing that you do where you find yourself in a perpetual emotional roller coaster. Oh my gosh, I'm sad. Oh my gosh, I'm happy. Oh my gosh. It doesn't have to be like that. When you have something to lament, you lament. But also make sure you balance it with some thanksgiving too. God, I praise you. New mercies I see every morning. And why is that important? Because when I was sick, I was in the hospital, I thought I was going to die. This morning is new mercies this morning. That's Thanksgiving. So today I give thanks as a community, as family. We are thankful for a place to worship. We are thankful for God's promises to never leave us or forsake us. Though the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, we know that God is in the midst of it. We are thankful for being able to join in this grand worship with other believers all around the world who identify as Jesus Christ followers. We are thankful for the strength and power of God who continually fight on our behalf. Seen and unseen battles. I am thankful for the woman who stopped me while I was walking to remind me to give thanks. Jula, give thanks. Things may be hard, but don't forget to give thanks. I am thankful for my brothers and sisters sitting here this morning. I am thankful for you all that I get to be a part of a multi-ethnic church whose commitment is to walk alongside others. I am thankful for you, all of you, and how you walk that out and live that out. Let us pray. Father, thank you for Thanksgiving. Thank you for what it means to give thanks. That it has nothing to do with how we're feeling. If we're happy, we give thanks, but even when we lament, we can give thanks. Father, teach us how to live that out on a continual basis and not just an event or an activity or something that propels us into giving thanks. Teach us how to continue to do that, to live a life of such. We love you, Lord Jesus. We are thankful for you, Lord Jesus. We are thankful for your sacrifice on the cross, because of which we are here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.